I prayed for her. God brought her into my life, and I am blessed. My sermon's done. Amen. That's cheating? Oh, okay. Yeah. I know we could all share stories of times that we have gone to God in prayer, and God has answered in wonderful ways, and I think we just need to take a moment and think about prayer. And present this to yourself as well as to those maybe in your life this week. Just the projection of this thought. Just think that Almighty God, who was and is and always will be, the creator and sustainer of the universe and eternity, has allowed you and me to speak to him. I mean, think about that we can come into his presence, we can stand before his holiness and offer him our praises and our requests, and he will hear us. And because he loves us, he will answer, grant, fulfill our answer, the answers to our prayers in his perfect will and plan, answers to the requests that you and I speak to him. This special and intimate communication with the one and only eternal God is possible. But so often in our lives, we forget it. We get too busy, we get too self-dependent, we get too involved in things around us that we forget that our holy and eternal God has made this possible. Why don't we take better advantage of it? Why don't we come before him more often? Why don't we pour our hearts and life out to him more? And why don't we bring all of our praises and requests to him? If you have invited Christ into your heart as your Savior and Lord, then you do have the opportunity every second of every day of your life for this special and intimate communication with the eternal Creator, Sustainer, Holy, Almighty God. All God's people say, amen. Isn't that a beautiful visual? Think about that the next time you go to prayer. Think about that God is waiting in his holiness on his holy throne just for you to come and you to have that intimate communication with him in so many ways. Why don't we come more to him? Why don't we, you and I, come more to him? Why do we live our lives alone? Why do we live our lives in fear and worry and stress and pain when the Creator, Sustainer, and Holy Almighty God has both made a way for us to have this relationship with him and invites us to come into his presence anytime and anywhere for this special and intimate relationship with him? Prayer. A Gallup poll said that 94% of Americans believe in God and 90% believe in prayer. So believing is prayer is not the problem. The question is, do we pray? Prayer is the most powerful and unused resource in a Christian's life. So just what is prayer? Well, to some it's a ritual. For some, prayer is reciting and such as we did today. We do each time we do the Lord's Supper, we try to bring in the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is beautiful, isn't it? Amen. The Lord's Prayer is beautiful. It was given when the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. It wasn't necessarily instituted as something we should say every day, although if it has meaning to you, say it every day. It's a form, a format, it's an outline Jesus gave to the disciples and to us. That's why it's good to know it, to memorize it, and to repeat it, because that way you know how to pray. He didn't say always say just these words. He's saying start off with words like this. When you pray, pray like this. Our Father, give glory to him as our Father who art in heaven. He is a ruler and sustainer of the universe. You see, it's to be embellished beyond that with your heart. But sometimes people say, well, I have to say the same thing over and over and over. It's kind of like the richest man in one town. They were at a big banquet. He had given a lot of money to the town for a special cause, so they had a big meal. So they made him the guest of honor, and they said, as the guest of honor, will you begin this beautiful meal by giving us the table grace? And he was a little flustered, and he said, okay, please bow your heads. And they all bowed their heads, and he said, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul. That's the only one he knew. That's the only ritual he knew. So it's not just to be a ritual. Secondly, some people look at prayer as just an emergency plea. Some call it foxhole prayers, where it's used in times of crisis or need, and then it's soon forgotten. That's why there's a saying, there are no atheists in foxholes, because when the bullets are flying, the shells are bursting, there are many prayers and promises made to God, only to be forgotten when the fear is over. So instead of being like in our everyday life of like breathing and eating and walking and talking, it seems to become like a little glass-covered box on the wall that says, break in case of emergency. Another way people look at prayer is for a call for temporary assistance. Some use prayer for an immediate need, using God just for the moment. At the lady driving through the parking lot, she said, "Oh, Lord, my legs are hurting. Please help me find a parking place near the door. Oh, there's one. Never mind." Quick prayer, soon forgotten. Not, "Oh, thank you, Lord." But really, a prayer should be personal. It should be regular. It should be heartfelt. You're pouring out your heart to God on a regular basis. Frederick Meyer says, "The great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer." Prayer is a conversation. What is it? Between two parties who love each other, God and you, you and God. That's why Jesus teaches in Matthew 7:7-11, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Either Jesus is lying, or we're not praying. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. For everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give them a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil compared to God, obviously, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God loves you. God wants you to come to him, to talk with him, and God wants to talk with you. But the tragedy is that too few truly have a deep and consistent prayer life with God. Even though God invites us into his presence and regularly turn away to other things, it's as if God has sent an invitation to the greatest banquet that ever was, and we sent word back saying, "I'm too busy." God made us to have a close and personal relationship with him. Look how it started in Genesis 3:8-9. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, walking with them. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden, but the Lord God called to the man and said, "Where are you?" That's the relationship God wants with us. But when Adam and Eve went against God's word and disobeyed his word by partaking of the forbidden tree in a desire to become like God, that relationship completely changed. And then on, you read through Scripture, God spoke to them from outside in a cloud, in a burning bush, in the wind, through the prophets. An elaborate religious ritual was developed, full of priests and altars, and there was even a thick temple curtain that was put in the temple between the Holy of Holies, that symbolized God's presence, and the rest of the temple. And the priests would go behind that curtain once a year on behalf of the people. But the people were not allowed to go behind that curtain. But when God sent his son Jesus, and Jesus died for our sins, the possibility of that intimate relationship was available again. We read it in Mark 15:37-38. Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was what? Torn in two from top to bottom. Open access again. The possibility of an intimate relationship with God was available again through Christ. Even with all the effort on God's behalf to make it possible for us to have that personal relationship, so few of us still have a true prayer time with God. Think a little further what God did. In fact, God in his love made it possible, made a way through the sacrifice of his son for us not only to be forgiven, to be cleansed, but also to be born anew as his children, as his family. And that's intimacy. That's why we see in John 1:12, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God. Think of it. You and I, when we receive Christ, become children eternal children of God, now and eternally. Jesus Christ came for the purpose of opening the way for us to become God's children. And when born into God's family as his children, we can come directly into the Father's presence. And we have the privilege of addressing Almighty, Holy, Eternal God as Father. Please say that one title with me, Father. Please, Father. Say it once more with meaning, Father. Focus on that when you pray, and focus on these truths when you pray. When you pray, first of all, you will find God listening. 1 John 5, 14-15, it says, "And this is the boldness we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Please say those last three words. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the request made of him. Second, when you pray, you will find answers. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." You will find answers if you give it to God. Third, you will find guidance. How many times have we said, "I just don't know what to do"? The psalmist in 107 says, "Then they cried," 6-7 says, "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them in a straight way." If you follow God's guidance, you'll follow a way that honors him, that glorifies his name, is in line with his word, and God will guide you. Fourthly, you will find wisdom. And James 1:5 says, "If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you." Fifth, you'll find forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess," hear the prayer of that, "our sins, he, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from some unrighteousness." How much? All unrighteousness. Six, you will find peace. Philippians 4:6-7. "Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding." Don't look at your situation. Don't look at the people and the forces around you. Give it to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you, who do you trust more? Yourself, people, the world, or all the forces around you, or God? Who's more powerful, that or God? Let that guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God's got it. I can have peace in that. Seventh, you will find strength. In Psalm 34, 4-7, he says, "I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried, and it was heard by the Lord, and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them." You'll find strength in God. Those are things that happen when we pray. So where do we pray? Obviously, we pray in here, in churches, in sacred places. But really, Paul says, pray without ceasing. You can pray while you're driving your car. Just don't close your eyes, please. You can pray standing in line at the store. You can pray wherever it may be. Jonah prayed in the belly of a whale. Paul in prison. Hannah in the temple. Jesus in the garden. After the resurrection, the disciples in an upper room. Everywhere, wherever, anytime, any place, we have the privilege and the freedom of talking to God. Let me ask you, in your home, do you pray at your meals? How about at restaurants? Do you pray? Deb and I recently had breakfast at a restaurant, and we're sitting there. Of course, we had a little time of prayer. We're not making a big deal. We're not standing on the table yelling and screaming. We're having our own time of prayer together. And it was really neat then. After our breakfast was served, we're eating. Another couple sat down next to us, and they prayed before their meal. It was really neat to see that and to see that witness within there. Pray everywhere. Pray about everything. Pray about everyone. You know, I know there's so many things. If you sat down and start making a list, you have this problem that I do. When you start making a list of all the things and the people to pray for, it just seems so daunting. Start making it. And start praying for those things. Pray for people. Pray for situations, because there's power in that prayer. And please let me say, add one thing. Please pray for yourself and pray for your needs and your concerns. I've had a couple people in my ministry say, well, I pray for others, but I'm not supposed to pray for myself. Where in the foul ball did you get that in Scripture? Everywhere where it talks about praying, there's personal contact in there. Pray for yourself. Pray for your concerns so you can be more equipped and more powerful for praying for others. Also, something we don't do. Pray in bold faith. Notice in Hebrews 4:16 it says, let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness. That doesn't mean disrespect. It doesn't mean haughtiness. It means like walking into the room of your beloved parents, or people who love you very dearly. You can walk in with clarity, with joy, with happiness, knowing that you are welcome there, you are accepted there, you are loved there. You can just walk in boldly so that we may receive mercy, it says, and find grace to help in time of need. Pray boldly in that faith. Come in before God and say, Lord, if I'm not right in this, please help me. Correct my thinking. Correct my view of things. Lord, I just come in boldly before you because I, through Christ, through that wonderful sacrifice, I am your child and I can come to you, my Father. And you love me. And I just, if I'm confused, let me know. If I'm right, let me know. Just help me here, Lord. But I come with boldness. Come with boldness and realize that at that throne we see divine sovereignty and power. And James 1:6 says, but ask in faith, never doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Realize that when you pray, God is listening. Remember, he hears us, and remember, he is starting to act on our behalf every time. I found a cute article about a new bar that opened up in town, and it became kind of a place of trouble within the community, so a nearby church called an all-night prayer meeting asking God to intervene. That same night, lightning struck the bar and burned it to the ground. The bar owner heard about the prayer meeting. He brought a lawsuit against the church claiming they were responsible for the bar burning down. The church hired a lawyer claiming they were not responsible for the bar burning down. And at the start of the trial, the judge said, now, isn't this odd? We have a case where a bar owner believes in the power of prayer and the church doesn't. John 14:14 says, if in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Prayer is not an empty exercise. Prayer moves the hand that made and controls the world. You must exercise your faith and believe when you pray. There's a great seminary called Dallas Theological Seminary. In its early days, it was in critical need of $10,000 to keep the work going in those early days. And during a prayer meeting, the Bible teacher, Harry Ironside, prayed, Lord, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Please sell some of those cattle and help us meet this need. Shortly after the prayer meeting, a check for $10,000 arrived at the school. It had been sent days earlier by a friend who had no idea of the need or of Ironside's prayer. The man simply put the check in the envelope and a little note on it saying, this is money came from the sale of some of my cattle. God knows what he's doing. James 4:1-2 says, those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder, and you covet something, cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. Hear that. You do not have because you do not ask. One person said, I had a dream one time. This all heaven filled with beautifully decorated packages with tags that read, never delivered because never requested. Think about that. And when you pray, pray with thankfulness. Philippians 4:6 says, do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We deserve nothing. Everything around us and everything we have is from God. And when we realize we become grateful for how God has blessed us and for all that God has done for us. Instead of complaining about the things that we don't have, maybe before we start praying, we need to start taking inventory of the things we do have to be thankful for and to thank Him for those. Instead of, oh Lord, I need this. Oh Lord, I'm lacking that. Oh Lord, please help me with this. Start first to sit and say, Lord, I just first of all want to thank You for this, and now that, and now this. Oh, Lord, and that. Boy, Lord, how You have blessed me, and how You are blessing me in so many ways. Lord, don't let me be overwhelmed with what I don't have. Let me be overwhelmed with how You have blessed me. And I come before You with a very thankful heart, saying this also is something that's in a need in my life. And my Lord, my Father, my God, I lay it before You. Also, pray and be open to being part of God's answer. You know, there's an old saying, you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. When you complain, are you part of the problem that you're complaining about or are you part of the solution? When you pray, God just might lead you to be a part of the answer to your prayer. Lord, send somebody to that fella. It might be you that's supposed to go to that person. He may lead you to speak to someone, to make a personal change, or do something related to His answer to your prayer. You might be part of the problem. You might be part of the solution. The pastor John Piper said, I begin each prayer with the phrase, whatever it takes, Lord. I like that. Whatever it takes, Lord, please, I lay this before You. Whatever it takes, Lord, please, hear my prayer. And God answers in different ways. You know some of these. Yes, no, and wait. Sometimes He says yes. Quick yes, answers yes. And even beyond that, Ephesians 3, 20 to 21 says, now to Him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Did you hear that? Even more than we can ever ask or imagine. We sure love those quick yes prayers, don't we? Answers to prayer. Something we don't like is when God says the other thing, no. There are times when God, according to His wisdom and will not grant our requests as we ask Him to. Maybe there are barriers. Maybe there are wrong motives. Maybe it's not for our best. God's refusal is an answer to our prayer. I remember one time I took the family to a steakhouse. It's one we used to frequent quite often, and son Daniel was about 6 years old, and they had delicious steaks, but being a young man, he wasn't used to the better cuts, so he would get the ground round. You know how that is. That's how you get your kid to think he's eating a steak, he's eating ground round. But because it was such a high-quality meat, he loved the ground round. He never would consider anything else but the ground round. For him, ground round was the way to go. And he sat at the table, and they came around. They said, what would you like? He said, I'm having the ground round. Okay, sir. Well, the waiter came back out later and said, turn to him. He's 6 years old, said, sir. He looked up. He said, I am so sorry. We are out of ground round. He looked at me. The waiter continued and said, with your permission, I'd like to replace it with a piece of filet mignon. Well, my son looked at me and said, do I want that junk? Do I want that filet mignon? In my mind, I'm thinking, do I let him taste filet mignon? He'll never want to go back to ground round. So I said, yes, let him have the filet mignon. One bite in that mouth, his face, whoa, what have I been missing? And sometimes God's like that. We ask for ground round. God says no, but He brings us filet mignon. Sometimes the no comes out even better. So when you pray, say, Lord, I'm okay with what I'm asking for, but if it's ground round to You and You want to do filet mignon, You go right ahead. You have my permission. And sometimes it's God wants us to wait. And in that waiting, He's still working. Remember that. In your waiting, God's still working. We have to learn to trust Him, to rest in Him. And when He says wait, when things aren't happening as quick as you or I want them to happen, does not mean that He's not working. He is. He is working during that time. He is working during that time. He is working during that time. Say it. He is working during that time. He doesn't ignore you. God loves you. He is working during that time. We need to love him, to realize and remember all the times he's answered our prayers in his wonderful prime rib ways. And just say, Lord, I give it to you. I have peace beyond human understanding, remember? And Lord, I have peace knowing that you're in control. God answers prayers sometimes yes, and it's quick. Sometimes no, and he's waiting to give us something maybe even better. Or maybe that's not good for us. Or sometimes he wants us to wait, and in that time we learn to trust him more and have peace in him. But remain strong and pray, because God is listening. He is going to answer your prayers. He is all wise and all knowing. He always comes with the right answer. He is truth. He can be trusted. He is all powerful. He controls all things that can never fail. He is love, and he responds to our needs with mercy and compassion. And is eternal. He sees all things and answers when all is right. And you've heard me say this before. If you ever come up with a problem and present it to God, I just want you to remember this question. Has God ever handled anything this big before? Of course he has. Even greater things. Jim Elliot in his diary says, God is on his throne and we are at his footstool, and there's only one knee's distance between us. The sad thing is so many don't experience the peace and joy of answered prayer because we just don't ask and we don't wait and we don't trust. There's a great song that's out now, kind of a newer contemporary song by Jeremy Camp. It's called Same Power. I want you to remember this. The words go, I can see waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out, we will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us. Lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us. Lives in us. He lives in us. Lives in us. We have hope that his promises are true. In his strength, there is nothing we can't do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. Greater is he that is living in me. He's conquered our enemy. No power of darkness, no weapons prevail. We stand here in victory. Amen? The same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you. The same power that commands the dead to wake lives in you. I want you to say something with me. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in me. The same power that commands the dead to wake lives in me. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks lives in me. The same power that can calm a raging sea lives in me. In me. Let us pray. Father God, the creator, sustainer, the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-holy, all-wise, almighty God of the universe, you have made it possible to not only be forgiven, not only be cleansed, not only to become your children, but also to have you, the eternal, powerful God of the universe, live in us. Lord, help us to trust you more. Help us to talk to you more. Help us to worship you more. Help us to speak to you in that loving relationship that you want with us every moment of every day, constant conversation, praying, talking, and listening to you. Lord, help us to trust you like at no other time. Help us to pray like at no other time. Help us to have the peace of knowing that you hear our prayers and you've got it like no other time. Help us have a heart of prayer, trusting you, loving you, and talking with you all the time. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people say, amen.